the National Review Podcast, the official podcast of thenationalreview.com. It is October the 6th, right after a Game 3 of the NLDS. I am your host, Colm, and I'm here with no other than Mr. Charlie Flegel.
Colm, how you feeling?
I'm feeling... You know what? I was honest. If we had lost that game, there was no way you were going to get me to podcast. I would have been heartbroken.
I don't know if I could have had the energy.
How could we? I mean, this is going to go down as probably one of the best NLDSs, I think, in history, because I guarantee five games.
You're guaranteeing it?
Yes.
Wow, you're guaranteeing it. Yeah, look, it sets up well for them because the Giants don't hit lefties well.
And
Gio's
Vogel
going.
Song's record versus the Nats. Can you please? We'll have to get that up.
So I don't know what Vogel Song's record is, and he's got his moments, but I mean, he's certainly not spectacular. And there was a reason why they weren't even sure. Is Vogel Song definitely starting?
Yes. That's what's penciled in. They have Peavy in Game 5 already penciled in.
Because they could start Lincecum, I guess.
You could, correct.
But they said that they're starting Vogel Song. So either way, look, neither of those guys intimidate you, right? They played in a pitcher's park. Vogel Song has a 4 ERA this year. Lincecum has a 4.74. If the Nats hit them, you would think those are the guys they could hit.
What about Gio in a must-win game? And when was the last time the Giants have faced like left-handed pitching consistently?
Well, okay, so if you look at their lineup, like Posey is a righty, and he will be able to hit him. But
Hunter Pence is a righty.
Hunter Pence is a righty. And Belt's a lefty. Crawford's a lefty. Sandoval's a switch hitter who I'm
mostly – he hits better lefty, in my opinion.
Almost positive hits better lefty. Yeah, so he doesn't want to face a lefty. He hits. Let me look. I'm pulling his splits up right now.
I definitely think he's a better
better versus righties. Yeah. So he's not a good. So he's not good against lefties. So, it matches up well for the fact that they don't hit lefties as well. But look, Gregor Blanco's a lefty too. So you think they got the splits going for him, all that stuff. The problem is, you tell me that like. Peavy is starting, and it's like they should have won games 1 and 2. Also.
Right. I mean, our starting pitching. I mean, we'll talk about each game, but starting pitching has been just lights out for us.
Yeah, I mean, Pfister was great, and everybody's saying Pfister gave them what they needed, but so did Strasburg and especially Zimmerman. So, I'm glad we're not talking about the season being over yet. I'd like to see it come back home, but. Look, there have been series where, one of my friends said to me, I want them to pull a Red Sox. And I'm like, this is not that crazy. The Red Sox being down 3-0 and coming back, that was insane.
Right.
This happens.
Yeah, it does happen.
Teams come back,
What's so weird about winning 3 games in a row? They've done it. They were 9-1 a week ago.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm just thinking, I remember the Yankees lost to the Mariners the year, Mattingly's last year, right? So that was 95.
Ken Griffey.
They lost to the Mariners. They won the first 2 games at home, went to Seattle, lost the next 2, and then went home and lost. So they, Seattle basically... Seattle came back from being down 2-0, and then the Yankees the Jeter flip year, the Yankees were down 2-0 to the A's.
Right.
And they came back. The Giants did it 2 years ago in 2012. They were down.
That's right. They did do it in 2012.
They were down 2-0 to the Reds.
You're
and
right.
They lost like we did this year. They lost the first 2 at home. Then they went to Cincinnati, took 2, and came home and won the last game. So. This has been done.
Plus, remember when we had that trip recently to the West Coast and we did amazing on that tour?
Well, I'll take it,
Yeah.
I'll take another game. That's what I'm excited about. I'm excited about another chance. 9 o'clock p.m. tonight by the time people are listening to this.
Exactly.
Oh, Colm, do you have a beer in your...
I do. I'm drinking New Belgium's famous Fat Tire, which I first experienced in 1997, give or take, allegedly, by age. but from when I went to University of Colorado, that was the first time that I had it. And supposedly it not had, it wasn't nationwide then, and now it's
not
everywhere.
Pre-nationwide craft beer drinker, yeah. Josh Coleman.
Look at me. Look at me.
Craft beer pioneer.
Craft beer pioneer. What about you?
Bourbon and Pepto-Bismol. Oh. No, I'm not hitting the bourbon tonight, even though it was... Today wasn't as much of a heartburn game. I have a...
Tonight was quick. Pfister worked real fast.
Yeah, he's fun to watch because he works so quickly.
And Baumgartner also works fast, so it was like the fastest game.
Yeah, how long did that game take?
A lot shorter than the other night.
I'll have to look that up. But in the meantime, I have a Southern Tier Special Harvest Seasonal Ale.
Oh, really? Southern Tier is getting bigger now.
It's good. It's sort of an Oktoberfest type beer. Like, I don't know if it's a Marzen or whatever, but...
We've talked about this before, how this is our favorite time of year with especially craft beers because of all the different, like, fall, the pumpkin, all that
stuff. So I will tell you, I love Oktoberfest beers. I like Marzens. I like all that kind of stuff. I do not like pumpkin beer. I don't like pumpkin.
Really?
I think they taste gross, and I like pumpkin, and I like
beer. Think the Dogfish Head is the only one I can really tolerate the most. Like, here it is. Remember I was all crazy about that stupid Old Bay beer?
Yeah.
That was great for, like, three times. But then when you're just going to the fridge and grabbing it, you're like, oh, not that Old Bay beer again.
Yeah, that's kind of how – I mean, pumpkin ale – I think my problem with pumpkin ale is – I don't like pumpkin. I like pumpkin pie and pumpkin cookies.
How about pumpkin lattes?
Yeah, it's like that's not what pumpkin tastes like. That's what pumpkin tastes like when you add cinnamon and allspice sugar.
Right.
And so if the beer tasted like that, I would probably like it better, but that would kind of be a gross beer.
No, they're going for the more hearty tasting of a pumpkin.
Yeah, so it's like I don't want a squash-flavored beer. That's basically what pumpkin is, right? I mean, not interested. So,
all right. So let's start at game one.
Game one.
Game one. Let's set it up. Well, it was a day game, I guess. 3 o'clock. It was in the nation's capital. We have Steven Strasburg on the mound versus Jake Peavy.
Jake Peavy.
So go ahead, take us from there.
Well, I mean, Strasburg pitched a pretty good game.
Great game. Let's see. I'll get you some stats.
He didn't. So he only gave up one earned run. I think he gave up 2 runs total.
Yes, he gave – no, 1 earned run. Yeah, 2 runs one, total, 1 earned.
And you know
only
what?
Struck out 2, which that was the most shocking, I think, in my opinion.
I've noticed I tend to be more positive than a lot of fans. And people were saying how he didn't really come out and shut him down and it was disappointing and 2 strikeouts to show you how good he was. He pitched 5 innings without his best stuff. And to me, that's what a good pitcher does. They don't have their best stuff every day. I hope this goes 5 and he does have his best stuff in game 5.
Right. We'll have to talk about that because there's already talks about game 5 starters.
Well, he went 5. He was not good in terms of –
8 hits.
Well, in terms of how he was pitching, he didn't look good. And yet – 1 earned run and 1 unearned run over 5 innings is pretty good. And the fact is that 1 unearned run was a bad inning, a bad error. And
real bad, yeah.
He didn't do, you know, the Strasburg meltdown after an error. So I don't know what people want from him. Obviously, you want a no-hitter, but look, sometimes your guys come out and they get hit.
Listen, would you rather him or Danny Heron pitching? That's all I have to say.
Yeah. I mean, the fact is, in this game and the next game, they pitched plenty well enough to win it. And they could not hit.
Yeah.
They didn't hit for 2 games.
Exactly.
Now, Harper did hit a moonshot.
Yes, he did.
Which was amazing.
Him and Estruble hit a moonshot.
Estruble, yeah.
So that was really all that I saw. I mean, Span didn't show up.
In the office. No.
Worth didn't do anything. Ramos did nothing.
So, 6 hits in that first game.
Yeah.
2 of them were from Harper.
As opposed to 12 from the Giants, who our defense pretty much saved us on multiple times that they could have scored.
It was not a bad game.
No, it wasn't a bad game. I think Strasburg pitched well, too.
Game two was an incredible game. Yeah. I mean,
two's going to go down in history.
It sucked to be on the wrong side of that, but, I mean, first of all, the Nats had so many chances.
So many chances. Harper had three chances where I could have been. I said to the TV, I said, you can be a hero now and a superstar, and he didn't want it three times.
He went 0 for 7.
I just don't understand how that happens if you want to be a superstar.
Well, he didn't do it, that's for sure.
He did not do it. You know who did do it? Brandon Belt.
Belt, yeah, yeah. Well, he went 0 for 6 before that hit, so there was plenty of chances, and the Nats couldn't put it together, and they looked better than the Giants for the entire game, even though Hudson pitched great and they only got one run across.
Is Jordan Zimmermann the best pitcher right now in the playoffs?
Probably not.
Really?
I think
he is.
Kershaw,
I think he's the hottest
rocked, but yeah, he's probably the hottest pitcher
right
now.
He's the hottest pitcher right now. I mean, he had one earned run.
He had one earned run. But
he went at 8 2/3.
You can't blame that run on him. He walked the guy, and then Storn came in and blew it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's certainly pitching better than anybody else over his last two starts.
Oh, my God. I just saw an incredible play in the Cardinal game. Sorry.
I'm sorry. I was watching the local football team.
Why are you doing that to yourself?
I should probably put on a baseball game.
Baseball playoffs is the best thing in the whole world. I wish they slowed the game down like this in the regular season.
It's easy for you to say that when the Redskins are the worst team in football. If they were good, you would be watching.
You think? Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. All right. There was one thing I want to talk about, and I know you're going to say it's a no issue, but that move by Matt Williams in the ninth inning, I thought at the time a brainstorm was the correct move.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it's a non-issue. People are calling for him to be fired because of it.
Well, I don't think that. I think Drew Storen works better when he comes in at the beginning of an inning, and he's not one of those guys you bring in like Wild Thing.
Yeah, I mean...
It does not work.
Maybe that's something to keep in mind. I don't know. I'd like to see, I'd like to see that. Yeah, I'd like to actually look back and see if that's true. Storn's been incredible for his last, 15 appearances. And
spoiler, he was great tonight.
Quite frankly, the hits that were gotten, he didn't. That double by Panda was a good pitch.
It was a great slider
outside of the strike zone.
Yep.
That most guys don't even get to touch. So that kind of stuff happens sometimes. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, don't worry, everything's great. That sucked. That was horrible that happened. But he wasn't awful.
True.
And... do you know who CJ Nitkowski is?
Why does that name sound familiar, but I can't.
He was a pitcher, till recent. He retired pretty recently.
Yeah, he sounds familiar.
He was a relief pitcher on about 50 different teams. He retired in, 05. He was actually on the Nats in 05, but didn't pitch much at all. I think he had four or five minutes.
I think I get it now. Yeah.
But he was on the Tigers for a little while.
Yeah. I got him.
Anyway, he's Gabe Kapler now. He writes for Fox Sports and he's interested in sabermetrics and he's just a good ex-baseball player writer as opposed to people make jokes about how dumb Harold Reynolds is. I actually find Reynolds kind of entertaining, but, he's very old school in the way he analyzes things. Well, Nitkowski's just the opposite. But he wrote an article basically saying, justifying why they took Zimmermann out. And
really?
Saying that, look, you can look and – and hindsight is 20/20 and all that, but he said that basically that Zimmermann was tired and you could tell by the way his body was looking. So his mechanics looked bad. He said that if somebody ever tells you that a pitcher is tired or not tired because of their velocity, mm-hmm. don't listen to them because velocity doesn't ever tell you anything about being tired. If you wait until the velocity drops, if you wait until velocity drops, you've waited too long and have risked injury to your player.
Right.
So basically what he said is Zimmerman missed borderline pitches. A lot of people will say that game should have been over anyway by the pitches, but his body language was bad. He looked over at the dugout. Managers see when players look over at the dugout.
Oh, he was checking to see if he got pulled? I did not notice he did.
Well, I don't know if he's saying he was checking to see if he got pulled or if it was more like an involuntary, like, yeah, this isn't going well for me.
I didn't see him do that. I was watching for that, too. And I didn't think he did that. But whatever, I could be wrong.
And so, anyway, he was saying that, you know, and I've read other stuff about where his – stuff that I don't really understand about body motion and like your arm coming through the slot and all this stuff. But they were basically saying that Zimmerman was different at the end of the eighth and the beginning of the ninth. And so Williams was basically ready to take him out, not because he was velocity or because of the number of pitches, but because his mechanics looked tired.
Uh-huh.
And so that's something I can't give a really informed opinion on.
Right, right.
But – if that's true, then I can't – I mean –
you can't argue that.
It's the right thing to do with your pitcher. So anyway, you know, I tweeted out at the time I would have taken him out too, obviously.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Obviously, I'd like to go back in time and not have taken him out because you think it probably wouldn't have happened the other way. But who knows? Maybe if they didn't take him out, the next pitch was a home run and the game was over in the ninth.
I think maybe in a way now after tonight's game – that they kind of needed this.
Yeah.
They needed the kick in the ass being like, listen, this could all be over if you guys lose again.
Maybe. I mean,
I'm really hoping that's what it's because.
I hope so. I'd prefer not to be in a situation where they're one loss away.
I mean, the only thing I could say as a negative right now is our offense. Our offense should be doing what it did tonight. It should be hitting home runs and with guys on base. And
well, so, okay, so I wanted to address that.
Yeah.
You want to go into tonight's game before we go talk
about it? Let's do that.
So tonight's game, I listened to most of the game. I listened to Charlie and Dave call it on the radio, who did an excellent job. I actually don't have MLB Network and decided not to spend $15.
Before we go on, our little side rant. The way they're doing this where it's on Fox Sports 1 and TBS and MLB Network – it's hurting the product, and it's making it hard for baseball fans to watch this, plus cord cutters are not able to experience this. This is awful.
It's worse than the Olympics.
It's really bad, and whoever is in charge should be fired the way that they didn't make this easy for fans of baseball. So go ahead.
So I listened to the game, but then I went back and I watched the highlights, and that throw, if you haven't watched it, go back and watch the – video of Bumgarner's throw because whoever, I don't know if it's like Matt Vasgersian or somebody like that.
Oh, the throw to third?
Yeah, the throw to third on the Ramos bunt. First of all, that bunt by Ramos, if I was watching that, I probably would have passed out.
Yeah, like, it was awful.
I mean, what a decision to bunt. But Bumgarner made a worse decision to
Even worse decision is when they have Doug Fister, who's a good hitter, bunting. I don't understand that call.
Well, I don't know how good of a hitter he is.
Well, they brought him in before to pinch hit.
You want me to tell you what Doug Fister's hitting numbers are for his career, Cole? Because we can look.
Well, he did a terrible bunt, and it made me really angry. Anyway, it was regardless.
You know, I was following on Twitter, and everybody on Twitter was like, here comes the Wilson Ramos double play. So everybody was actually excited to see the bunt.
Yeah.
Because, look, I had some conversations with people. When he was on second and Cabrera singled and he raced home and ran, all these people were like, I can't believe after an 18-inning game he ran like that.
Yeah.
And it was like the sixth inning of this game. And I'm more impressed with, you know, like the legs can come and go, but I think it was Posada. I'm pretty sure it was Posada was interviewed, and he was like, what kills you as a catcher is hitting in a late inning because your hands, you're catching a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, and your hands just kill you. You can't feel your left hand by, like, the sixth or seventh inning. Right. So, like, you throw that on, and you go, well, maybe Ramos really should have been bunting because, you know, it's hard for a catcher to hit late innings.
It's true.
And people don't really think about that, but, you know, Pfister isn't exactly throwing serious heat, but, like, catching Zimmerman and then the bullpen for 18 innings, they're all pretty much throwing above 92, at least.
I wouldn't have thought of that either.
It just chews up your hand. So, anyway, I saw that, and then I watched the Harper bomb, which was amazing.
He hit it out of the entire stadium. You realize that.
He hit it very far. And very far. I recommend going back and watching those on MLB.com just to hear the excitement from the – I don't know if the team is not calling the LCS or something because they were so excited for both. It was like we get to work again tomorrow. We get to go to another game tomorrow. It was like they were rooting for the Nats a little
bit. Of course. Everyone wants a five. It's going to go five games, I'm telling you. And then that brings us to this question, though, of – right now they have penciled in Game 4's GO, but for Game 5 it says TBA. And there's a big thing of, is it Strasburg or Zimmerman?
So my guess, tell me what you think you would do. Okay. I think Strasburg pitched well enough in Game 1.
Right.
I'd put him in. And I'd have Zimmerman ready to go if you need him, kind of like, you know, the old when Schilling and Randy Johnson were on the same team. Like, I'd be fine if you have to bring Zimmerman in the third inning, but... Or Roark. Roark only pitched two innings, but I'd be worried about pushing Zimmerman up. And then if he doesn't perform, I think you're done because your team goes, oh, no, that was Zimmerman.
Right.
That's what I'm worried about. Like, I don't know. I think it's something that you don't have to worry about quite yet, but I'd probably just start Zimmerman.
I totally agree with you that you go Strasburg because then – he's amazing and wins you that game.
I'm not sure what you
say there. Oh, hi Siri. You don't want to start. You don't want to start Zimmerman.
Are you going to turn your phone into Radio Shack or something?
Yeah,
and your phone's getting jealous. Have you seen that commercial?
Yeah, that's right. It is that commercial, I guess. Out of nowhere, it's just talking to me.
Colin, why are we going to the phone store?
Be quiet, Siri. No, you start Strasburg because then you win that game, and then game one of the next series you have Jordan Zimmerman. I think that's way better.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what you would probably have in mind. But look, they got to win tomorrow and tonight if you're listening. And Gio's got to come out and pitch a good game, and these guys have to hit. And they haven't really hit, but hopefully today helps a little bit. You know, they always say, like, sometimes it's an error or an infield single that really gets you going.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, in terms of the offense, what I was saying – oh, before we finish up, I want to finish up with this game. Storin tonight?
Oh, yeah.
I mean
– exactly what you want. That's what you want is what he did.
He got an actual save because he had like a vulture save, right? Yeah. But it was a bloop single, a really hard hit double. Belt had one pitch that was good. But then after Belt.
And Belt is by the way, has really stepped up. That guy is a great hitter.
Well, he's been like a super top prospect forever. And he's just finally getting to be where people thought he was going to be.
Yeah, he is like.
People loved Belt like 3 or 4 years ago.
I love him.
He was on the team when they won the World Series 2 years ago.
Wow. He's good. He's very good.
Yeah, he's good. So, yeah, I'm not as nervous about. I'm not as nervous about Storin as other people probably are.
No. I think it was smart, too, by him coming in today's game, too, to show everyone that everyone has faith still in him as our closer. I just don't like when you bring him in mid-inning. That gimmick is over with me.
You're done with that.
Done. Bring in Soriano for that. Yeah, bring in Soriano when that happens.
I don't ever want to see Soriano.
Why?
Pitch.
He pitched fine.
That was probably the surprise of the game to me, was Soriano pitching really well for an inning.
He pitched great. I was, like, amazed. He looked like he was throwing hard again. He's had some rest now.
Yeah.
Dude, the man had over 30 saves this year, right?
I know. No, we talked about it. I said he was good. He just can't seem to figure it out right now, so. Maybe he figured it out just in time.
I
wanted to talk about the offense, right?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
If they had gone down in three games and had hit the way they hit,
yes,
everybody would have said, you know, I don't know if people would have been talking about wholesale changes or anything else, but they would have basically been like, you know, they screwed up big time. What do they need to do to fix? The only problem with that is, like, people seem to forget this happens all the time in the postseason. A team goes out and doesn't play well for three games.
Right.
If you look at, like, what the Angels did.
Oh, my God.
The Angels didn't hit at all.
At all. Mike Trout was just not even there. Pujols was barely there.
Mike Trout is the best player in baseball. Pretty much, like, he's going to win the MVP this year. Yeah. Pretty much everybody now agrees that he's the best player in baseball. He had a home run. That was his only hit. He had three walks, a home run, and he went 1-for-12.
Because baseball is it's a game of streaks and slumps.
Yeah, and so, like, Harper's already got better numbers than Trout this season. That mean Harper's the better player? Like,
no.
It's just this happens a lot, and you can sit there and be like, well, they need to do this differently and they need to do that differently. No, what they need to do is every year go in there with the best possible team. And what they've built is a team that most years their pitching will hold up well in the postseason, and they've got a pretty good offense.
I think they have a great offense when they're there.
Yeah, but they're not there all the time, right? True. And so a lot of teams have great offenses when everybody shows up.
Well,
but so what I'm saying is, you know, what they have is you can change things in and out here or there, and we can talk about that later at a later date.
Right.
But
don't panic is what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, even if they hadn't scored more than – if they got shut out today, I still wouldn't have been like, well, this offense is clearly
so this or that. So do you suggest any changes in game four? Because I do. There's one change I would make immediately.
What's your change?
I would put in Ryan Zimmerman at first base and let that man be the man he is in this franchise.
I actually have no problem with that.
Because LaRoche is not playing well right now.
Well, LaRoche isn't hitting, and I wonder if his back is still bothering him.
Something's not right, and he should be – Ryan Zimmerman's ready to go. Let's go.
I would have no problem putting Zimmerman
That's
in.
The only change I'd make to that whole lineup.
Well, the only thing is Vogelsong is a righty, and so
– True, maybe, but Zimmerman's maybe, all
right. LaRoche hits
right.
Oh, yeah,
he's a lefty.
Really
that's
well.
Right.
And so I don't
know. Yeah, that's hard. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Right.
The one thing that I actually wanted to see today, I wanted to see Zimmerman start today, and they didn't do it.
He should have. He was in there one time. I think he took a swing on the first pitch and was out of the game immediately. And I was like, what?
My issue with, like, not my issue, but my thought is maybe, like, Zimmerman's not totally healthy, and that's why. And don't listen to what Matt Williams says about his health, because if Zimmerman's not totally healthy, but he's still going to use him occasionally, you think he's going to say that he's not totally healthy? Of course not. He's going to be like, oh, yeah, he's fine. And meanwhile, in the back, Zimmerman's like, yeah, just put me in to pinch hit.
Right.
And if I have to go in at the end of the game, fine, but I'm not healthy enough to start. You know, I don't know. Maybe
right,
not.
Right.
Let's assume that Zimmerman isn't healthy. The guy I wanted to play today was Espinoza, because you're starting against a lefty. You have your ultimate ground ball pitcher in.
That makes sense.
Espinoza is the best defensive infielder on the team, and he's one of the best hitters against lefties on the team. And so, to me, I don't know. Danny Espinoza and his 300 batting average, his 850 OPS this year against lefties. That's what you
That's
want.
Pretty high, yeah.
No, he's been incredible.
Wow.
And so, to me, I don't know. I would have liked to see Espinoza start. Now, obviously, Cabrera came in and got a nice single when Ramos.
Did he get the RBI? Yeah, he did.
He got the RBI when Ramos was on second. So,
That's right.
It's not like Cabrera's had a terrible series, but, I mean, it hasn't been good. It's just been better than all the other terrible hitting that the team has done. But
so, would you make that move? So tomorrow, though, you wouldn't because it's a
no. Espinoza can't hit righties, so right. I'd rather have Cabrera. And Cabrera has some lefty righty splits too that aren't as they're there as well. But he's much better against righties than Espinoza. Even though Cabrera too is better against lefties.
Can we talk about how how is Anthony Rendon playing like an established veteran in the playoffs?
You know what'll be nice to see?
Huh.
You know, one of the things this team needs is to get for their young players to get another year under their belt. Like,
yeah.
Ramos and Harper and Rendon and Desmond, maybe they're only going to get better.
Right.
And imagine how good this team is going to be when Rendon and Harper are like the 3-4 hitters and are established as like really good hitters.
Well, Rendon is playing like an established
he's playing amazing.
Ridiculous. Ramos, Harper, by the way, him behind the plate with his gunning out guys stealing bases has been amazing also.
Yeah, Ramos is pretty good, especially considering like he hit really poorly right before this. So, he's not as good again. He's another guy that doesn't hit righties as well. So I'd like
to go Lobatone?
No. I think I keep Ramos in. Unless there's some sort of...
Unless Gio wants him, right?
Yeah, if there's... You know, I haven't looked... Sorry, I just muted myself.
No, that's all right.
If there's some evidence that says Gio is just way more comfortable than with Lobatone, then yeah, put Lobatone in. But barring that, I'm perfectly fine with Ramos starting.
I don't know. It's almost like I want someone different in the lineup to give us some kind of spark. Like, I'm hoping like a Ryan Zimmerman in the lineup would do something.
Well, let's hope for the game that the spark was the 4 runs.
That's true. I'll take that spark. That one's already established.
And I'd love to see Gio come out and be what Gio can be. Yes. This is the kind of lineup and the kind of place that could happen. It is...
It's a must-win.
It's a pitcher's park. He's facing a lot of guys that don't hit lefties well. And if they lose, they are done. So this is a pretty big game.
Wow. Even today, it was like I just sat there and I couldn't move.
You know, I listened to it on my ride home, sitting in traffic. I listened to it on my phone when I got home because I was just listening to the app. And I'm just sitting there like in a dark room.
Wow, that's great the way to treat their fans of the Major League Baseball. I'm so mad at the way they handled this.
Yeah, well, the dark room wasn't their fault. I have a young child that I was trying to get to go to sleep as I'm screaming at the phone. But
you should be able to just watch it on your phone, though.
Hopefully that happens soon. I mean, the NFL's already relaxing their blackout rules. I have a feeling that pretty soon it will all be...
I'm sorry my team made the playoffs.
Pretty soon it will all be streamable. Yeah, well, yeah, it's kind of annoying. I mean, I was having this conversation with somebody like, well, it's weird that you can't watch the local team on local TV.
So
but I mean, NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs, those are like, if you don't get TBS, now everybody gets TBS.
Right.
So it's a little different than MLB, but like
– right.
You have to get those. You can't watch...
And Fox Sports 1 is not in every provider. That's a new channel.
Nope. I like Fox Sports 1, though. I like their analysts. I like Kapler and, you know, Ken Rosenthal does stuff for them. And I like Nitkowski.
Right.
I'm a fan of that Fox Sports 1. They have a...
I like them, too. Huge fan.
They have, like, a 10 p.m. roundup during the season, which I also like.
I do.
Excellent, sir. Well, I think we've... We've exhausted
these.
We've
covered it.
Games.
And I'm glad everyone who's listening to this right now, because you're going to go right into watching the game tonight. This will be – you were listening to this on a Tuesday. Yes.
Yeah. So a little bit – you know, we talked a little bit about the preview, about you're pretty excited about Vogelsong.
Yes.
I'm too nervous to be excited, but
– I met him too, Vogelsong. So he's a year older than us.
Colm, we got to spend a few minutes to go. You got to meet all these...
all the Giants. Yeah.
Tell a little. So Colm was at the park on Thursday?
Yeah, the first game was Friday, right? Yeah, Thursday.
So he was down at Nats Park working for an unnamed company.
Unnamed company. I was basically filming all the things you saw like during each like inning and stuff where they're sort of like swinging a bat and there's like background images of stuff. So yeah, there were things that they were saying like you're watching X right now. But a whole bunch of different like promo type stuff. So I got to meet like a majority of the team. And
so quick impressions before we go with the guys on the
quick
Giants.
Impressions that overall, all of them are like exactly our body type, but just a little bit like more in shape, I guess. No one was like, I looked at and was like, oh my God, that guy's enormous. Like even,
yeah, really. Like, how did like Hunter Pence? Did you get to see?
Yes, him? I was Hunter Pence. Probably I spent the most time with. I got to talk to him. I told him that his pants style is amazing in that. I loved it, and he thanked me, and he said he appreciated me noticing that.
Did he look as weird in person as he does on TV?
No, not as weird as in person. Very tall and like lanky, just pretty much the same way he is. Panda is super short and. Not,
does he look huge?
No. He just looks like a regular guy who's like shorter than me, but a little bit wider.
Hmm.
And I met Sergio Romo,
yeah.
Who probably was my favorite guy because we talked about video games. He's a big gamer.
Do you know that Sergio Romo was the one that was stopped in an airport because they thought he was like a terrorist when he had his beard in 2012?
But he's like a regular American dude. Like I talked to him and he has like a regular just American accent.
Yep.
Yeah.
Still stopped at the airport.
Because I guess because of his beard.
Yeah, the beard scared people.
Anyway, he was awesome. He's probably my favorite. But he is tiny, that guy. Like,
really?
I'm amazed how,
is he
like
Billy Wagner small? Like, Billy Wagner?
Yeah, like, real. Like he's almost like, when I looked at him, he was like, if you took Ace and made him a Major League Baseball player.
Our buddy Ace.
Yeah, there you go. Shout out.
Yeah, so that's cool. I remember you sent me some pictures.
Yeah, it was awesome. So I got to at least spend about, like, 7 minutes with each player. Because
they would go
station to station. So I was like in a holding part where I would try to make them feel comfortable and just like make small talk with them.
And you weren't relegated to the Giants. You saw the Giants because the Nats had already done their stuff.
Yes. Since the Giants had won the night, this was the night after they had beaten Pittsburgh and had basically flew in at 4 a.m. straight to DC. And they had the one day before the first game. So they were all hung, like, I guess maybe
you said,
allegedly.
You said they were, they had celebrated.
They had definitely celebrated, even so that I would think Ryan Vogelsong was very excited.
Yeah, I think you.
He seemed like an awesome, like, dude that, like, I love the guy now. Like, even though he's pitching against us and I want him to do terrible, he's an awesome guy. He's only a year older than us, and he looked like just like anyone else we would know. Like, I was so surprised how, like, when you see NFL football players, you're like, that is a massive man.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Even like guys that we went to college with at Maryland.
Right.
Do you remember one of our really good friends, Jason, his buddy from college, ended up playing center in the NFL for like 10 years. So we hung out with this guy a lot. And
he's a huge.
Massive.
Massive.
I mean, he was a center too. But
these guys are like regular dudes that you would see anywhere. Like, it's unbelievable.
I always thought of them as tall.
Like baseball players?
Yeah.
Like, I was really hoping we were supposed to get Bumgarner and who's the other tall guy? I guess Bumgarner would be the tallest, but he didn't come. And Linthicum, I wanted him to come, but he didn't come. I got to see Buster Posey, who was just basically tall, not like jacked out of his mind.
Does Posey look like he's 15?
He definitely looked super young. After every time, after the players would come in, I would look up on Wikipedia how much their salaries were. So I could be like, that was a $10 million man you just met right there.
Amazing.
So we got to meet millionaires every time we came in, and they were all super nice. We wished them good luck. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to wish bad things on guys, but...
Well, I blame you.
Well, no. Well, we won today. But and I met Crawford, who... That guy, I was surprised how small he was, too. He is a cool dude, too.
Speaking of age, Harper has 3 home runs in the postseason before the age of 22. I just saw this on Twitter.
Oh, right, because he had one last year.
Only 3 guys...
What do you think? The Rock is on Raw right now? Oh, sorry.
You're betraying that it's not Tuesday morning. Oh, wait, we already did.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Mantle has had 4 before the age of 22. Andrew Jones had 4, and Miggy had 4. And Harper has 3. And he turns 22 next Thursday.
Does he really? Almost like Tanner Roark, who had a birthday during the longest game ever.
Yeah, so maybe Harper will tie that record tomorrow night. That would be nice. Wow. That would be nice.
That would be nice. Anyway, thank you all for listening to this show. If you're not listening to this on a Tuesday, you're listening on Wednesday or Thursday. Hope you enjoyed it. And hopefully, you're getting ready for Game 5.
That's right.
That's hopefully. Right. And we'll probably be back before the next round. If not, God forbid, we're doing a terrible wrap-up show.
If there's – yeah, the next show will either be a NLCS discussion or we might cry for a little bit and then talk about the season after.
But you are tweeting and I'm tweeting a little bit during the games.
Oh, yeah, we're following the games. 9 o'clock game.
That's right.
We'll be up. We'll be talking about what beer we're drinking and how many paces we're walking around our apartments.
Right. So I'm at Culmination.
I am at Nationals Review.
And we appreciate you all for listening, and we will see you next episode. See you at the park.
See you at the park.